Welcome to our first episode of The Fallen, a Guild Wars 2 podcast. My name is Billy Curry. I also have Zach Smith on the phone. How's it going, Zach?
It's going well, man. Thanks.
Great. This is our first episode. This is our actually third podcast under the WooCast network, wooa.com. Just glad to actually have you here today. We're just pretty much going to be doing this every week. This is our starting show. It's kind of half of it's a podcast, half of it's a webcast. We're going to go over Guild Wars 2 news, what's going on in the game, tips and tricks, and we'll start from there. How are you doing today, Zach?
Doing good, man. I've been playing a lot in the past few weeks since it's come out. Pretty awesome.
Awesome. Nice. Yeah, I see that you've already leveled up to level 80. How's that going?
Proud of it. Definitely. It was a fun leveling experience. It was kind of like a mix of a lot of MMOs that have, you know, been out. You know, it reminded me a lot of the Old Republic and a little bit of WoW. So it was like a nice combo, and it's been really fun playing it.
Nice. Before we go into all the Guild Wars 2 news and all that info, since it's our first episode, I just want to kind of get a little bit of a background, or give the listeners a little bit of a background on both of us, and as far as MMOs go and gaming and so on. So I'll let you start off first, Zach, if you just want to kind of give your background, your gaming background, what you like to do other than playing MMOs.
Definitely. So, the games, I'll start with the games I play just because that's probably going to be easier offhand for me to think about right now. Usually I really only play MMO games most of the time, World of Warcraft, and, you know, I've been trying out other ones that have been coming out these days, but really I started with WoW and kind of playing that, and, you know, it's gotten a little washed out, so I've been trying other stuff. You know, I play a few other games on Xbox once in a while, play some shooters and stuff, but I'm really into these, the online ones. I'll play, tried Rift. We tried Star Wars together, played a few of those, but this has been the first one that's been a real hook and sinker for me since WoW.
Nice. Awesome. As far as I go, I've been playing MMOs for about, I guess it's a little bit over 10 years now. My first real MMO, I could say, that I started playing was the first EverQuest.
That's cool.
And yeah, EverQuest was probably the one that kind of hooked me in. And then after EverQuest, I played a game called Anarchy Online. That was kind of in the early 2000s right there. I didn't play that for too long, and then I kind of got into Star Wars Galaxies kind of right after that.
I've heard good things.
Yep, and after Star Wars Galaxies, I kind of took some time off, and I I discovered a small little game called World of Warcraft.
Small player base there.
Yeah, some game that kind of didn't last too long, but got into World of Warcraft, and that World of Warcraft kind of opened up a lot for me. To be honest with you, with that game, I kind of got more serious into MMOs and so on. As far as Guild Wars goes, I kind of dabbled a little bit with the first Guild Wars. I can't really say that I really played it for too long, but I did kind of dabble a little bit with that game. And after that, Star Wars The Old Republic comes out. I kind of put down the World of Warcraft, played that for a while, and as you know and many other people know, that kind of probably didn't last too long, that game experience. And now we're here. Guild Wars 2. We've been waiting for this for, I guess if you put it all together, it's probably been 4 or 5 years that this game has been in development, maybe even more than that. It's been a long, it's a long road, and we're actually happy it's here, and we're just having a blast. So,
yeah, sure. Before we go on, you brought up something really, really interesting. Let us please set aside some time to talk about Guild Wars 1 just a little bit today, in comparison, or just to kind of get some thoughts about that, because that's really interesting.
Yeah, the funny thing is you bring that up also, is that I'm actually kind of going back to some of the When I have a little bit of time on my hands, I'm kind of reading. I download the digital copy of some of the Guild Wars novels, just to get kind of get a background on the lore and what's, the brief history and the time period between Guild Wars 1 and Guild Wars 2 and what went on. And I think it's around 200, and I might be wrong, I'm sorry if I am, but I think it's around 250 years in between the two games.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know the history of Guild Wars and Guild Wars 2, the humans, beat up the Char, that took over the Char area of Tyria, and then the Char kind of fought back, and now and so on. So this is the war they're going back and forth. But we're gonna get more into that lore in later shows. But
cool.
Let's just jump right into it. Big news going on. This news has probably been going on for about a week or so now. How ArenaNet has suspended digital sales for any new customers or new players that want to get into the game by downloading it to their PCs. What do you think about that, Zach?
I mean, one thing for sure is, this isn't, you know me, I'm pretty in on the, what's going on with this game. And I actually had no idea about this until we spoke about it a little bit briefly. So, I mean, that message was not sent too loud and clear to the point where most people know about it. I think it could be looked at like a really negative thing.
Yeah.
And I know you'll back me up on this. I mean, the game has been performing as other MMOs, if you compare this to other MMOs, the game has been performing brilliantly. I mean, like, no issues. And I mean, if the issues do come up, they're small technical issues that are usually resolved overnight. But in terms of like server lag or downtime, like we saw with Diablo or other, World of Warcraft games, it's been beyond minimal. I mean, almost, I've never had to log on to this game and not been able to, So I say, if they want to cut back digital sales, let them cut back digital sales. I mean, the people who wanted this game bad enough are on it right now.
Exactly.
The people who get it now are climbing over them. They heard about it on IGN or what have you, and they're trying to get their hands on it, but it was an afterthought. The people who were there day one are on.
And I think it's, not a lot of companies, and I give a lot of respect to ArenaNet for doing this, because I can't see a lot of companies or software companies pull this move. I mean, pretty much people were throwing money at their screen. I mean, ArenaNet could easily say, you know what, we're going to leave it open. We're going to sell as many games as we can and make a ton of money. But, they're saying, hey, we respect our players. We respect the integrity of the game. We don't want to open up more sales when we can't. Maybe, this could be the reason. This is what I think or sounds like, is that if we're not 100% sure our servers can handle this many people, we're not going to, open up the floodgates just in case. So I think it's really cool that ArenaNet wants to kind of tweak things out, make sure it's 110% perfect before opening the game up to other players. And that's not to say that you can't buy the game. You can still go to your local GameStop or Walmart to buy the game, because obviously those dealers have already purchased the game, so they have the right to sell it still, obviously.
Of course. And I don't think they're crazy. Yes, the servers could probably be fine, As far as you and me are concerned, who knows, right? We're only speculating. But you have to look at things like the auction house. The auction house, Guild Wars equivalent of an auction house, the Trading Post, was kind of up and down over the past couple of weeks. I mean, there's been some bugs with that, and some maintenance has been done, and that would be the only thing I would say has been a big hiccup for them, has been that kind of like browser-based trading post that they have.
Right.
So it's like, the storm clouds are there. They've had a warning that there could be issues. Like that, if that's not working, you really want to push the limits,
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, they're not crazy. I mean, I'd rather have them be safe than downtime. I mean, look what that kind of downtime did to a game like Diablo,
Yeah, I mean, that's what's going on with Diablo these days. I mean, it's not a whole lot of press on that. And it's amazing how much press that ArenaNet has been getting over this game. I mean, it hasn't in the public eye, it hasn't been really on the radar for that long. I mean, for fanboys and gamers like us, we've known about this game for quite a while now, but it's amazing to see that Time Magazine, Forbes Magazine, these huge, you know, world publications are giving it, you know, press, and it's amazing to see that. So I think it's a really cool thing for the gaming community, ArenaNet, and you know, such a small company for ArenaNet to kind of be treated like royalty. So I think,
especially if you look at the previous title, I mean, Guild Wars was good, but I mean, that's one of the things I kind of wanted to talk about. I mean, it's nothing compared to this game.
No, absolutely.
I would probably have even called it an MMO, you know, and with all due respect, you know, I liked it, but it wasn't open world, it was instance and this and that. So for them to go out this far and do things that so many other games don't do, it just really makes you appreciate it, and then all that for free monthly. It's an easy sale, you know?
I mean, Guild Wars, and you know, there's core, hardcore Guild Wars fans for, you know, that play the game and loved it, and then there's people that...
Didn't mean to offend.
What's that?
I didn't mean to offend. I thought it was a good game, just very different than
no,
this.
No. And I couldn't. You know what the problem was? Was that when I played Guild Wars 1, I was still kind of in my World of Warcraft. You know, I was still playing World of Warcraft, so it was hard for me to kind of play that kind of game. You know, it wasn't like it was. I don't want to say it was like kind of a downgrade, because I don't want to put it in that category, but it. You're used to playing a game in some ways, and when you try something different that's totally different, I mean, not totally different, but just not, you're not used to the style of the game, it's hard to pick up. I think this time around with the Guild Wars 2, we're actually going in more of a positive direction, and kind of, it's actually, the features have been enhanced, obviously, and we're kind of going to, it's a game where I could say it's the future of gaming and what they've kind of done with this game, and we'll definitely get into more detail and why I think that.
Yeah, I mean, we'll look at it like this with one, right? You know, you're saying you're in this WoW mindset, and you go to Guild Wars 1. What it is, you know, this isn't a $15 a month game. This isn't my premium title. You know, that was the thing, and I think they did the same thing here. Like a lot of people are saying, oh, you don't pay monthly, it's one of those. But it feels like a monthly game, you know. Like I feel like I'm playing a game I should be paying for right now. So they definitely nailed that balance that Guild Wars right. 1.
And that's the thing. I mean, it's like that's the great thing is that it's amazing that a company can make a game that's unbelievable, and you know, all you're buying is the box for $60, and it's free to play. I mean, if you choose to use the microtransactions in the game, that's, you know, that's your choice, but you don't have to if you don't want to. It's not going to make your player any better than another player. It's more cosmetic.
I'm getting tempted to, though.
Yeah, me too. but it's not saying that you can't play another game, World of Warcraft or Rift or another game that you're currently paying to play. So, you know, it would be one thing if you're playing a game and you're paying two $15 subscriptions a month, and then you might be like, which one do I cut out? That's a whole different story, but
happens all the time.
But there's no reason why you wouldn't play this game, and I have a hard time, you know, you listen to the people that are the anti Guild Wars 2 people, and I haven't heard anything good enough to say why you wouldn't do it.
I mean, I would happily pay monthly for this.
Yeah, and I would. Even though I pay my, you know, I paid for my annual WoW subscription, you know, I'd probably still keep my WoW subscription because, you know, it is what it is, and it's there, and it serves its own purpose. But I would definitely pay $15 for this game as well. Unlike some other games, I would totally not do that. Like Star Wars: The Old Republic, which I canned it. Pretty quick.
Yeah.
Cool. Nice.
Real quiet. Whenever you bring that up, I'm.
Yeah. You know what the thing is? I had the subscription. I canceled my subscription, and then when they did their first major patch, the four.
Yeah. I remember you telling me about it. They sent out the email, gave you a week back, and then you kind of sign up again.
Instead of signing up for like the 3 month at a time, I did it 1 month. I'm like, I'll give it another shot. I paid for another month. And I thought, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, it's kind of cool. But it wasn't, like, groundbreaking. It wasn't like it was a big difference. So I canceled it right after that again. Because I knew this was coming out, so. All right, cool. Going right along, we're going to go into some world versus world. Your view on it, both of our views on it, the, you know, the wait times and the whole idea behind it, and what your feel versus world versus structured PvP. I'll let you start off with this one, Zach.
Cool. So I mean, just addressing in general PvP with this game, I find that the world versus world is excellent. Now that I have a good understanding of it, yep. It's excellent, and it's actually vital to this game's end game, and however you might look at end game with this game, but it's vital for this game's end game. Even in the sense, and I hope this isn't like a spoiler type thing, and we'll figure out if it is or not. But I have found as of recently that you are actually required to master world versus world in order to craft a legendary weapon in this game. So you need like 500 of a certain currency from world versus world battles to forge one part of your legendary. So I mean, it's not just, you know, Tol'Barad or Wintergrass, like a massive PvP zone. It really does hold a purpose for this game's longevity, you know, which is really, really cool. Just in general though about it, I mean, it's huge. You know, there's four separate battlegrounds. There's the three borderlands of the, you know, servers that are participating. And then there's the center battlegrounds called the Eternal Battlegrounds. And I'll say this. I mean, ArenaNet did a good job. They put in those, I don't know if you saw the instructors right at the entrance when you walk in. And these NPCs that'll explain world versus world to you, give you some tips, tell you where you can get moving to kind of get your battle on, which is cool, you know, and it definitely helped me the first time. However, it was a little hard to understand exactly what I was supposed to be doing. Kind of found myself wandering off alone a few times and getting killed and then walking that really long walk back. So, I mean, the nature of a big battle like that is there's going to be a lot of walking and dying is really frustrating. But once you get the feel of it and once you kind of understand where I should be going, okay, I should be getting supply camps or, you know, we'll talk about specific stuff.
Right.
It's really solid. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I totally agree. I mean, that's the only, you know, I think world versus world, and my view on it is a little different than it was prior to the game launch, just from betas and stuff like that. I always thought that if you were new to MMOs in general, PvP, anything like that in general, that I thought that a new person might tend to do better in structured PvP versus world, but my view of that's changed a little bit, and I'll tell you why. Is that I think somebody who's new to this type of game, and they go into world versus world, they're not really. It's not like you're in PvP where you're on like a, what is it, like a 5-man team, 7-man team. Is that right?
Well, it's like, when you're in structured
PvP, yeah.
Structured PvP is they range, like you can have anything underneath and up to an 8-man team.
Okay. So in world versus world, you start the game level 80, but you can kind of do your own thing in world versus world, where in PvP a lot more people are depending. Well, you're more in a group. So I think for somebody who correct me if I'm wrong or if you think so, but I think in world versus world you can kind of do side PvE, but still kind of get the feel for PvP in general with world versus world, because you're fighting, but you're kind of fighting for yourself, but you're also fighting for the server. But I think it's a good way for somebody to learn the kind of the ways of PvP. I don't know if I'm explaining myself right.
No, you're spot on. I want to elaborate on your behalf because that's totally right. What'll happen a lot of the time with World vs. World is, there may be a herd of, say, 30 to 40 people, right? Like, flying around the zone, taking points, and, you know, oh, join the Zerg at the castle, right?
Right.
And so let's look at it from two different scenarios. Let's just say I join World vs. World by myself, right? I queue up, I'm by myself, I'm playing alone, and I just kind of want to get in on the action. I'm going to be more inclined, and you agree with me if you want or if you don't, I'll be more inclined to just join the Zerg. I'm going to run to the 30 or 40 other people and just try to get in on the action, you know?
Sure.
Now there's another element, and so then I'm contributing to the server-wide. You know, I'm a winner. I'm a soldier in the war. I'm helping out with the big picture. But let's say I'm not alone, right? Let's say you, me, and three other guys join up from the guild, and we're looking to really like get some influence, some guild points for the guild. You know, get some other stuff done that's a little more private or a little different. You and me and three other people, we can split off into little squads or strike forces, whatever you want to call them, and still achieve objectives that contribute to the server's overall, you know, wellness in the battleground.
Mm-hmm.
You can take supply depots, you can attack caravans, you can simply kill other people, and those will all benefit your team in a little or a big way. Also scattered throughout the zones are literally PvE events, you know, like events versus monsters and things like that, I'll kill this ogre and he'll fight for your army, you know, things like that. So I mean, there are definitely PvE elements riddled throughout World vs. World, and playing in a small group can absolutely be, you know, a valid thing. So I think what you were saying about structured and that being very different is actually really right.
Yeah, I think because it you're kind of more in a team, small team scenario versus World vs. World.
Right.
So, and the and then you were talking about earlier that, you know, you want to, when you're in World vs. World and you kind of jump into it for the first time and you're kind of still learning the ways of it, and you get killed and you learn that you have to walk your ass all the way back to to the action, you could choose not to, but the problem is if you choose not to and do your own thing, now you're losing out on valuable XP and
right.
Big bosses possibly. So I think it'll teach the new player that, hey, you know what? You know, learn how this, you know, works. And, you know, you might need to stand back a bit, be careful more, don't just go crazy because, you don't want to kind of walk your ass all the way back. So.
You know, when I first joined, I was having, it was, like, pretty frustrating to me. And not in, like, a game-breaking frustrating kind of way, but I was, like, you know, I was getting frustrated that I was playing it like a WoW player, like running in and trying to get kills, and
right.
You know, I wasn't handling it like Guild Wars. And just, you know, two things. I mean, first of all, this game for WoW players is can be a nightmare because, you know, this is not a run in and, you know, rely on a healer type of game. You know, this game is all about you taking responsibility and kind of not dying.
I'm sorry, I don't want to cut you off. I want to let you go right back, but I want to definitely touch on that a little while, on why a WoW player has such a difficult time playing this game. But we'll go. I just want to bring that up. But we'll go right back into that in a little while.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
So on that note, I mean, just what I was going to say is that two things that are different from WoW is that you have to be skillful, and also that the community in this game is a lot more open-minded and a lot nicer. I've noticed than other communities. For some reason, and maybe I'm just on a crazy nice server.
Definitely.
But it's been amazing, you know, how helpful and nice people can be. And on that note, when I first was getting frustrated with these world versus world deaths, and, you know, I look at the map and I was like, geez, I got to run like all the way across and this is brutal, but I want to stay here because this is fun. I messaged some random guy who I was near, who I noticed had been doing very well all night. And I was like, you know, dude, what am I missing out on here? What am I doing wrong? And he was very nice. Instead of just telling me to eat it, dude, or something, you know, he was like, don't die. He was like, do anything you can in here. Just don't die.
You got it.
He was like, I don't care if you run out of the group and, you know, go back to another safe spot or, you know, go mine something. Just don't die because it's the worst thing you can do in here. You know, that kind of sounds stupid, but it actually is, you know, once you start rolling out of the way and making sure you're not in a crowd of people and, you know, you're being careful, it starts making a lot more sense. And you wind up, you know, I'll go into World vs. World now and I won't even die. I'll spend the whole time just doing things and running around and I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe, like, you bring up the community and how great they are compared to other games. I noticed that probably in the first or second beta weekend that I never, and I'm so used to a type of community that, not say that they're all in for themselves, but you know, I'm laying, you know, in Guild Wars, you're laying on the ground, you're looking for, you're totally done now, and people are just, they're rezzing you, you know, they're helping you out, complete strangers, people are very friendly, talking to you through the main chat, it's just a tone, I think, it seems like it's more of a, I don't want to say it's more of a mature audience, but I think it's, the Guild Wars, the original Guild Wars players who are into the Guild Wars 2 now, they're a different breed than a World of Warcraft or a...
Well, can I tell you something on that note?
Yeah.
The game, that's not all, you know, it's not just that they're all nice people. I mean, there are a lot of nice people, but I'll tell you this, the game is designed brilliantly to promote that kind of behavior, right? Like, you and me, we res people, right? We don't do it always out of the kindness of our heart. I get a nice juicy chunk of XP when I res you.
Yeah.
So this game was made, I mean, the game naturally, without saying so, it doesn't say help other people, doesn't say you get XP when you res people, it naturally just kind of pushes you to, hey, why not be helpful? You know what I mean? Why not res that guy over there and just get some XP? You know, don't bother grouping up, but why not just take down the troll together? You know, you don't have to group up, it's all good, we'll naturally let you do it, just why not? You know, and that's brilliant.
And everybody gets awarded at the end, essentially, so...
Yep.
Which is great.
And for contribution, you don't want to try? Good. Take the bronze medal. At least you know, we're there and that was good. Or, you know, you bust your ass, you get a gold medal, some extra karma points, good stuff. It silently nudges you in a positive, coordinated direction. It's really, really feels good.
Nice, nice. Cool. Okay. Let's...
What did you think of World vs. World?
What's that?
What were your thoughts of World vs. World? I mean, just in general, like your first...
I'm playing it right now as we speak. I'm actually in it. So I'm just kind of messing around with it, but I love it. I think I you know, even from day one, I was a big promoter for it, and I think even with World vs. World, I was never. I'm not sorry. Even with World of Warcraft, I was never a huge PvP player. I played PvP. I wasn't really crazy into it, but I think with the betas and the stress tests of this game, I really fell in love with it. So I'm a big fan of it now. So I plan on spending most of my time in there. Not to say that I don't love the PvE story part of the game. I love the whole story elements and the lore of Guild Wars and the.
We're gonna get into that for sure.
Yeah, and I love I always choose to play on an RP / PvP server on most of my games because I still love the RP element of games. I kind of like the realism of the character and so on. That's just the type of player I am. If I'm gonna play a game, I wanna feel like I'm in the game. So.
Yeah.
Going into World versus World, but in the sense of servers and wait times, and do you personally see a problem with it? Are you experiencing wait times, like crazy wait times, or no?
So here's the, that's been very strange for me. You know, that's been one thing. I've seen it, yes. Amongst my group of friends, I play with about five or six guys, you know, regularly, like, you know, every night or so. And, you know, we'll all try to get into it to do something like there's really cool jump puzzles in World vs. World. I don't know if you knew about that. That give you great rewards or really challenging. We also do it because, like, you know, we're all working towards our legendary weapons, so we want to, you know, go in there and get badges so we can get that material. So it's something that's very attractive to an endgame player. And yeah, like, you know, so what'll happen is my friend will be queued for 40 minutes, which is a long time. That's a really long time. He'll be queued, and, you know, we'll all be trying to get in, and then I'll join the queue, and I'll immediately get in, which is great for me, right? And I don't seem to be having any trouble, but it's very frustrating for other players. And, you know, I think the big thing there is, oh, it works for you. No, it's really more that it should be consistent, and it's not. And I'm not quite positive how that system works. It does seem very random. It seems like every couple minutes they allow a new wave of players in. I don't think it's based on who leaves and who goes in. But I wouldn't say it's been problematic. I get in when I want to get in, but it just takes time and it's inconsistent. You know, that's been it for me.
it's a little irritating when you're in a party or you're a group and one or you're in the world verse, or you just go in and then you invite somebody and they can't get it again to a different server or whatever, and it's a little frustrating. And I think they're trying to tweak or work on that bug.
One thing I'll say, you know, I hope someone from ArenaNet stumbles upon this one day or, you know, in time to fix it. They have got to, for their structured PvP and for World vs. World, add a join as group button so we can all join a group together. That just seems like a huge oversight that if I want to join, even structured PvP, I don't know if you knew this, you cannot join a group. You can't join a battle together. I can't just take my party and go to a battle. We all have to join separately and hope we get in, and it's kind of, you know, it's just a little irritating.
Remember early on we were playing PvP, structured PvP, and we ended up being on different... I was on the blue team, you were on the red team.
Right.
Now,
exactly.
you could switch... I could, and look, I could be wrong, but I thought I was able to switch over to your team if I chose to.
You are able to switch teams, but you're at the mercy of the roster. You know, you're at the mercy of... Well, what if there's already 16 people in the game and there's no room to move?
You're right. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Or there's you know, the scenario of, well, there's already 7 people on the other team and 5 on ours. They're not going to let you out. You know, they auto-balance the team. So it's cool when I'm by myself. I don't care at all. You know, it doesn't matter. But when I'm with my friends, I don't mind killing you a few times or getting killed by you a few times. But, you know, it starts to become, well, you know, I want to play with my friends too. And it just seems like... It seems like a huge oversight. I'm just a little curious about that. You know, it's nothing game-breaking, and it certainly wouldn't make me go back to kind of that monotonous WoW PvP or one of those games, but it is a little curious how a game that is so good at PvP is leaving out such a key maintenance kind of feature, you know?
Yeah, sure. I mean, at the end of the day, these problems are... going to get resolved. I mean, ArenaNet is aware of these things. They've told us that they are aware. They're not keeping us in the dark.
No.
And they're in the grand scheme of things, these are things that are going to get fixed. And they're not huge bugs. We're still all able to play the game and do our thing. It's not like you know, when you compare it to other games that have had huge bugs at launch, it's not the biggest problem.
No, certainly not. And I mean, I don't know if you know about this, but I mean, on the note of they're not leaving us in the dark, if I could just speak on that for a sec.
Yeah.
They're doing the opposite of leaving people in the dark. For people who use Reddit or websites like that, ArenaNet has literally been posting on those sites, and their website actually, GuildWars2.com, they've been posting game status every single day since it has come out. And they have, like, any of the problems they're having and notes on what they're doing to fix it. And if they do a patch, they have patch notes. Did you know about this?
Definitely. They're huge with social media, ArenaNet. They're a big a promoter for, you know Twitter, Reddit, Facebook, you know.
That blew my mind. And we don't even pay. We don't pay anything.
It's amazing. And they're giving 2 or 3 updates per day. I mean they're constantly... trying to hit all different angles for the community, because, you know, they're eventually going to have their forums and they're going to have their support forums, but not everybody's going to be reading those support forums, so they want to be able to reach their whole audience, not just a fraction of their audience, and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I definitely love, you know, how every day I can log on and see, oh, they fixed that problem I had yesterday. That's great. And, you know, they're not doing server maintenance middle of the day. They do it in the middle of the night when no one's on. It's very cohesive for a game that we don't pay monthly for.
All right, moving right along, we're going to go into our next segment. We're going to talk about crafting and tips and tricks that you know, that we can share with the audience and kind of, you know, talk about leveling, you know, XP through crafting and how valuable it is and how different it is versus other games out there, and the way Guild Wars 2 or ArenaNet approaches this type of activity in the game.
So we'll keep this crafting related right now, and then we'll do a little more leveling talking.
Yeah,
so
go ahead.
I'll keep crafting in mind here. It's good.
All right, we'll start with Zach. What, as far as your main, your warrior, what are your two main crafting abilities?
So it's really, really interesting, the whole crafting scenario in this game. There's a lot I could say about it, but I sort of, and this is going to sound bad at first, but then I'm going to tell you why it's awesome. I sort of didn't have a choice with what professions I picked, and I'm not mad about it. It's good. What happens is those legendary weapons that, you know, is kind of the aspiration of the end game for when you're level 80. That's something you're going to work towards in a lot of different ways. What happens is you need, you know, I want a two-handed sword. So to make the two-handed sword, you have to be an armor smith and a weapon smith. Plain and simple. I got to do those. I can do any other professions I want, but if I want, you know, I'll have to master these too. So I went with armor smithing and weapon smithing. And I really enjoy them. I enjoy, like, the challenge that has come with leveling crafting. I think ArenaNet handled them really cool. You know, I know we were talking about it a little bit, and I really like being able to level up, you know, through crafting at any level. That's very, very, very cool to me. What do you think, Bill, of how they handled the gathering nodes in Guild Wars? You know, like, so when I say that, for anyone who may not know, I mean, you know, when I'm out in the world and I see, like, a mining, like, a little piece of mithril ore, and I mine that, you know, or I see, like, a, you know, an herb on the ground and I pick it, those are gathering nodes. I mean, what do you think, Bill, of how they handled that?
I think it's, as long as you have the you know, you have the three main tools to do that. So you have the pickaxe, you have the hatchet, and you have the... what's the third one? What they call it?
What is it, like a scythe or something?
Like a sickle. Yeah. So you have the three of them. One's for obviously mining. One's for cutting down trees, and one is for you know, plants and stuff that's buried in the ground. So I think it's not only is it the great thing about it is you don't have to be skilled in any one of these three. So, so anybody could do any of these. So you don't have to be a miner or whatever to do these. So anybody can do them as long as you have the right tools. And the great thing about it is when you're doing these things, you're collecting XP, and I think that's awesome. So, I think it's not only are you getting XP for getting this stuff, but you're also getting XP for crafting the stuff later on.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, the other nice thing too, I mean, different from a game like WoW, and I'm sure you'll appreciate this or have already, is that you don't have to fight with everyone else for these resources.
Yep.
So what I mean by that is when I'm out in the world and me and Bill see a mithril node and we're going to go mine it to get mithril, it's not me or him. You know, I don't either mine it or he mines it. Everyone gets their own. So when you see a resource on your map and you go mine it, that is your own. That is for you. It doesn't affect other players. You know, other players get their own mining and their own, you know, trees and what have you. And that is one of the best things I've ever heard of in these games. And it makes it worth doing. I'm not going to look at a little mining node and be like, I'm not going to bother with it. So that has been really cool. And it's not often I get hooked into these professions. And this game has me trying to level them like crazy.
Yeah, I'm doing more mining than I've ever done in probably World of Warcraft. I'm constantly stopping and doing each one of these as long as I have enough room in my backpack. But it's cool. You come across cool stuff. I know when I'm cutting down a tree, I'm coming across some cool, you know, different types of woods that I can. I'm a mesmer, so my two crafting abilities are artifice and tailor. I'm a tailor, so I'm constantly looking for wood and you know, types of cloth and stuff like that. So those are my two, and I picked those two. I think just because the type of you know I'm a magic user, so those are going to be the two major ones that I would use.
I wouldn't be surprised if those are the ones that you used to craft your legendary at the end.
I bet they would be. Yeah, I mean I have two other alts. I have a ranger, and I have a necro. On my ranger, I'm doing huntsman, and I'm doing cooking. So, but I haven't gotten into cooking yet. I heard pretty awesome things about it, and I heard it's. But I heard it's kind of difficult. Is that what?
Cooking is expensive. The materials are hard to get. Which a friend of mine who actually is leveling it up right now said. Another thing that I thought was interesting is with crafting, It's not the typical, you know, go to a trainer, pick up these recipes, right? Like, you hit level 300, go pick up these recipes. They took a really unique approach to how you discover new crafting recipes. Have you gotten to play with this much yet, Discovery, Bill?
Yeah, I've crafted. I'm still low level in my crafting. I just kind of, but I've been trying to do more of it. So I'm just having a hard time just crafting, you know, materials and getting the right materials. So.
Yeah, I love. I mean, can I explain it real quick?
Yeah, no, go ahead, please.
So what happens is once you. You know, you're gonna. It's the normal stuff with crafting in this game. I mean, you walk around or you buy materials. So you know, I mine. Let's just take me as a weaponsmith and just to keep it simple here. We'll do a brief example. So I go out and I mine things, or I buy minerals off the trading post, mm-hmm. and I turn them into weapons. Simple enough. The way that's done is I smelt the iron and I chop down trees and I use the wood to make handles and then I craft an item when I have said requirements. That eventually stops giving me enough XP to level my weaponsmithing. And you kind of start to hit the slow point, which is usually the death of professions for anyone who's played these games.
Right.
Be like a wall, and it's a little annoying. But the way this game handles it is you take the things you make, right? You take these other leftover components, and you can put them into a tab that is called Discovery. And if you put in a bunch of materials that you think might work well together, just based off what you've done in the game so far and kind of what you see, it'll actually allow you to discover new recipes and give you an incredible amount of crafting experience. So it's like a really, surprise, surprise with this game, but it's a really dynamic way to kind of keep it interesting for you. It lets you kind of play around and feel a little more customized with your crafting experience. And, I think it's been really, really fun to find new recipes and things doing all that.
Nice, awesome. Yeah, I'm trying to be better at it. So I guess I'm having a hard time. I love doing it. I'm just having a hard time doing it right. And I'm constantly looking for ways to be better at crafting through various websites and stuff like that. So I'm trying to go about it the right way, and I'm not just kind of craft stuff that I, randomly. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, I do.
And I want to make sure that I'm doing the right way. Can you recommend for people like me or anybody who's looking to get into more crafting on the proper way of just going about it and just going about it, getting the right stuff and so on?
Yeah, I mean the big thing for me has been. You can go out, you can go to a zone that has, all the different level zones are going to have different materials in them, right? Like level 1 to 15 zone is going to have the lowest level ore, copper ore, and as I proceed to higher level zones, they'll have higher level materials. That's, obvious, I'm sure. What happens is, I'm not going to go out there and mine so much ore that I can, just easily go level weaponsmith. Of course, that's by design. They don't want us to be able to do that. You're going to have to come to this realization that you're going to have to hit the trading post and you're going to have to put some money into this if you're looking to level it. Because the way that crafting has kind of impacted this game is you could, and someone did this actually. The first guy to hit level 80 didn't leave a city. He just did crafting.
Mm-hmm.
Leveled all the way. So, I mean, if you think about it like that, they can't have you just sitting around making this easy. You can't just run out, grab some more, and come back and expect to be an all-star. This is something you really have to master. I mean, we're talking about these are the skills that make the best weapons in the game. It's not quite like World of Warcraft where they got outdated very quickly. People at my level right now, at level 80, are making items that sell for 5, 6, 7 gold and, even beyond that. So that's a lot of money. I mean, they're a powerhouse kind of thing in this game. The best thing you can do is get money from going out and, living your Guild Wars life. Bring it back into, wherever you are, whatever city, and, look on the trading post, find some good deals, make a deal with a guildie who's, has a lot of those materials and, exchange some stuff with them, and then do discovery. Discovery, so far, anything I said, do you have anything you want to add into that? Because I just want to tell a story.
No, go ahead. Please.
So this little story I have here is, kind of my experience with crafting. I knew that crafting was a big way to level, but I didn't really want to do that And I didn't really want to craft at all when I was leveling, just because I was loving the game so much and exploring and all these great things. So when I got to level 79, I was kind of like at a not a standstill. I didn't want to explore this new zone really yet, and you know, I didn't have a way to easily level. I didn't have a story quest ready to go or anything. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So what I did was I went to Lion's Arch, you know, the main city, and I was like, let me check out weaponsmithing. Let me see this crafting thing everyone's talking about. And I literally got level 79 to 80 in about 30 minutes crafting.
Wow.
Just because I started it and I had like a lot of materials from all my gathering while I'd been leveling that I never used. So I kind of just like bursted through the last level in the game really quick. And it wasn't a bad thing. It was cool. I'm still not very high with crafting. I'm only at about 120 out of 400, so very low still. But it was enough to get me my last level in the game, which was really, really cool. So, I mean, and it's hard. You know, like you need a lot of stuff to get a high level. I mean, my friend put 20, 30 gold into it already, and he's not even finished yet, you know, which is a lot of gold in this game. So the crafting is not a joke, but I find it to be a lot of fun, and it's really rewarding, and it actually holds up in the end game. It makes the best items in the game, which I think is great.
Nice. Awesome. Thanks. All right. We're going to go into some... You know, we've already kind of went over our class. Well, I went over the classes that I'm playing and the professions that I'm playing.
Yeah.
And you know, favorite classes and why. Personally, my favorite class has always been the magic user type of class. You know, if in this game would be a Mesmer or a Necro in that sense. So I actually have both Mesmer and Necro as my two characters, and I'm loving it. You know, I love those types of magic users and the type of damage that they deal. I never really play a warrior type of head-on into the fight kind of character. You know, in the betas, I tested out a warrior and a guardian because I knew that I was going to play a Mesmer at launch, so I didn't kind of want to ruin the storyline for myself. Mm-hmm. So I kind of did that. But I loved the warrior a lot, and I never, even in World of Warcraft, I never played that type of class. So, I don't know. What do you think about your favorite class and why?
Well, I actually have a question for you too, but I'll parking lot that. Basically, I only tried one character so far. my thing was like opening night, you know, when the pre-purchase came out, I was like, I'm going to make, you know, I'd only done the stress test because you kind of got me on board last minute. I was, you know, I'm the WoW guy. I wasn't really into Guild Wars. I wasn't going to play it, but... So, you know, I didn't get to do the betas. I only got to do literally 1 3-hour stress test, and that was all the experience I had with it. So, I didn't get to figure that out ahead of time. Even reading about it, I was like, you know, they all look cool. Who knows?
Sure.
But what I did was I made a warrior, and I was like, oh, I'll try it out for 5 minutes. If I don't like it, I'll just make another character. You know, you and me were trying to get everything settled anyway and trying to figure out how we would play together.
Yeah.
What happened was I got so wrapped up. I mean, I looked up and I was level 20 and I haven't played another character since. You know, I like, maybe it's the game is so good or maybe this class is perfect for me, but it fits like a glove, man. I haven't made anything but a warrior since and I love it.
It's one of those classes where it's very, it's not only is it easy to pick up, but it's a fun way to play the game. You know, I really loved the warrior a lot when I played it in the beta, and I think it was a char warrior, but I knew that I wanted to be a Mesmer. So, but I think if I do make another character, it'd probably be a warrior. So, but maybe not, you know, later on.
How do the magic characters feel for you? I mean, what is that? How does that kind of play? I mean, I know my guy kind of feels like a PS3 game, and I'm running around, and I'm like, it's like kind of an action game with me, you know, like, so
yeah.
I was curious kind of how does that feel, like, how does it feel to be slinging spells around, and how does the game kind of handle the magic?
I love it. I wish it was, I have a hard time, because now I just created a ranger also, but my Mesmer, big difference between the two players, Mesmer is, super powerful, but I'm very, you know, I'm not great soloing. So if I'm
the old glass cannon,
I'll get destroyed. So I'm pretty fragile. So I have to keep my distance and be smart about my spells. So I have to kind of so sometimes it takes me a few times to get through some big parts of the game, especially my personal story. But I noticed early on when I was playing my ranger, rangers are kind of cool because they're kind of they're medium armor, but they're kind of not a warrior, but they're not like a magic user. They're kind of in between. So, but I was able to solo pretty much most of all my stuff now, and I've been leveling like a madman on them. So it's what a big difference. But I still, you know, I still kind of still love my mesmer a little more. But I'm having fun playing the ranger. I like it because you have all the cool pets and stuff like that. So I think it's kind of cool. I always played a warlock in WoW, which is kind of close to like a necro in this game.
Right.
Because you have all the cool demons and stuff like that. But in this game, it's probably my third favorite. I only have three characters. It's probably my third favorite out of all three of them, being the mesmer being number one. So.
Well, I mean, going back to what you said about the mesmer and kind of that whole thing with like the glass cannon, you know, a character that's very squishy and easy to kill, but that you do a lot of damage.
Yeah.
Forgetting that, even, I mean, that's frustrating in any game. Like on Diablo, when I was a wizard, I died really fast because I'm wearing a dress, you know what I mean? But you just take that equation out. Like, I wear heavy armor in Guild Wars, right? I have found that this game in general is very, very challenging. I mean, and it goes in a good way. I mean, I got to dodge things, and, you know, everything is very skill-based, and if I don't move out of the way, I die, and that's it. There's no healer or tank to save me. That's going to be amplified 100 times when you're a cloth wearer, you know what I mean? I mean, I die enough as a plate wearer, and I mean, we'll talk about it one day or sometime soon, but even the dungeons in this game are just so brutal in that regard. I mean, lots of downing and having to get revived and stuff. So, I mean, I would say for the average person, this game is very challenging compared to what most people have kind of come to expect from this type of game. You know what I mean? A lot of dying and a lot of kind of having to think about what you're actually doing, not just eating potato chips, staring at the screen, you know?
Yeah, I could get through stuff by my... It just takes me, I have to really... I'll get killed a lot, and then I eventually kind of plan out things, and I kind of... I have to be smarter about it. But most of the time, I should be, you know, grouping up with people to kind of, planning, teaming up with people. That's kind of the mesmer kind of way, I would say. But it can be done. It's just very difficult.
I've come to like that difficulty.
Yeah, it makes it a little challenging, and it's very satisfying when you get it done, because it's like, wow, it's a pretty huge achievement. So
yeah, anything in this game has become a huge achievement.
Awesome. We're gonna go into our last segment, and This is geared, you know, to all the level 80s out there. You know, the game's been out for about, I guess, including Head Start, I guess 2 weeks now, around 2 weeks now. So, you know, Zach, you are a level 80, as we know now, and there's a bunch of level 80s. There's, you know, we've heard stories of people, like you said earlier, that French guy leveled 80 into the first 36 hours of gameplay by crafting, and then we had another guy do it with PvE. And I can't speak from experience because I'm not a level 80, but what are your feel it being easier than other games to level that quick, or is it more challenging? Is it harder? And how did you approach that?
I'll say this, and this is going to kind of open up a lot of other doors, which will all, you know, we'll keep it good, but the leveling process in this game is, if anything, easier than most of the games I've played. And that comes in a very good way, and it comes for a good reason. It's because the focus of this game is to not hit level 80. In my opinion, and this has been said in a lot of other places before, I believe, and even maybe from the mouth of ArenaNet, I'm not 100% certain, but a lot of people say, well, there's no end-game raids, you know, there's no end-game dungeons, there's no, you know, there are zones for level 80, I shouldn't say that. They don't tell me what to do at level 80, right? And that actually, and we know from experience, that makes a lot of people unhappy. A lot of people don't like that. They don't like, you know, they need to be told what to do at 80. That does not happen here. And that's because what ArenaNet has said, I believe, I could be wrong with that, or I've heard around, is that the end game's content starts at level 1. And a lot of that is attributed to the down-leveling system in this game. So, like, I'll give you a perfect example. I'm a level 80 right now in very, very high-level gear, and I'm in the Elf or Silvari starting zone getting killed by level 19 creatures because I'm in an event right now and it's a little intense, and I'm... When you go to a low-level zone at any level, it lowers you to the level of the zone to keep the challenge. So there's no zone where I go and it's not challenging. And in that sense, I mean, isn't the whole game endgame? You know, if the whole game is challenging, I'm getting level 80 rewards. I'm getting money that I need.
That's great, yeah.
You know, the whole game is endgame. And, I mean, there's the Islands of Or in the south part of the map. That is three zones dedicated to level 80s, and there are, you know, tons of really cool events and great story missions, and it's always like an active war zone with like outdoor raid bosses and stuff. So there is stuff to do, but like right now I'm exploring the world to get 100% completion to work on my legendary weapon. So I mean, there's a lot of replayability to these levels that I can go back to the starting zone now, and it's still a challenge. I'm still getting things. And that's been really cool for me and all my friends that have hit 80.
That's great. I mean, then you get people who say that the leveling progress is slower than other games. But then you look at, with you know, people leveling to 80 like in under 2 weeks. So what do you say in that, on that hand? Because you just said that leveling is... It's easier to level to 80, right?
Yeah, I mean, so what I'm... I'll elaborate on that, I'm sorry. What happened... What I mean by that is that, it was easy. I leveled quickly, is what I should have said, right? Like, I leveled pretty fast. And I, you know, I've been playing a lot and whatever, you know. But I leveled very quickly, but not easily. The game is very hard. At all, I mean, I'm a level 80 in endgame armor, and I'm getting killed by a larvae, you know, in the elf zone. You know, so... The game itself is hard, but leveling process, it didn't feel like a grind. I wasn't always looking at the level and being like, oh, I'm not 80 yet, this sucks. You know, I can't run heroics, I can't do raids, I can't do PvP, because if I wanted to do those things, I hop in. Or if I want to do a zone, as long as I'm the right level or at least above it, I go there, and it makes it appropriate for me. So I never had to work to level up. You know, I just kind of did what I wanted to do, and the game accommodated. You know, it's instead right. of me having to, oh, you know, well, I'm level 83. I have to go to the level 83 zone. That's it. No questions asked. I can't do anything else. Maybe one day I can go back, but it won't even be a challenge. You know, so that element is gone. And for that, you know, I'll be entertained infinitely longer. You know, there's so much more incentive to go back and play a zone because it looks cool or you like it instead of it's the best thing.
Of course.
It's the most efficient thing. You know, and that is another thing I think was pretty genius.
That is the end game. You know, that's the great thing because it just keeps going, it seems like. And even though you're level 80, you can still have fun and still play with your friends that, you know, are level 80 or under because you're always gaining something out of it. So,
yeah.
And, you know, ArenaNet will definitely come out probably with a new patch within... Who knows, 6 months? You know, I mean,
I'd say sooner. I mean, I'm expecting something sooner.
Yeah.
Not to beat it, but because I'm just been impressed by these guys. But before we leave that topic, could I throw one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
I kind of gave a textbook answer. Like, oh, the whole thing's endgame. You know, do the arts, explore, have fun, you know, love the game. If you're looking for, like, a tangible thing to do at 80, there is an answer. I mean, so just to give, like, a bulleted list of things to do at 80 that are, like, 80 endgame, I'm the high-level guy now.
Yeah.
100% world completion, so explore every part of the world, because you're rewarded with materials to make a legendary weapon. So if you want a legendary weapon, and, you know, I keep referencing this because it really is the goal of the game, is to make one of these weapons, and trust me, it's going to take work. You literally have to master the map 100%. You have to get... You know, an insane amount of tokens from dungeons, an insane amount of tokens from world versus world. So there's, you know, you work on your legendary weapon, you explore 100% map completion, you do world versus world, which is endless, you know, really entertaining and fun, right. And you can do structured PvP. You know, there's also high-level dungeons, like heroic level kind of hard dungeons, and so those are there too. So it's really like dungeons, you know, explore the world, do crafting, go to Ore and fight the battle in Ore and do events there and earn karma and money. So there are things, but I'm saying if you want to go back and do these other zones, it makes sense. It's not stupid to do that.
Definitely.
So that's my like tangible list, not to give you like.
No. I think you know, and just for everybody listening, that we'll have our show notes on our site that, and I think we can, if you don't mind, Zach, it'd be great for the audience that if you can kind of give your top tips on mm-hmm. Level 80. You know, what to do after level 80. So I think it'd be kind of cool to kind of have people look at it and kind of, you know, have a good view and positive, you know, what to do after that level cap.
Definitely. We'll whip that up.
Cool. Just let you, we'll also have all our info on our show notes too, but you can always kind of, you know, for everybody listening, just go to our website. Anything that we discuss on each one of our podcasts, you can kind of go back and kind of, follow it like that. So but that's, you know, that's episode one. I think we did pretty good. What do you think, Zach?
I think it was excellent. I think we have a lot of other cool stuff coming.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of stuff to talk about, and you know, it's been really fun talking about it and stuff. It's been awesome.
Definitely. Before we close out, I just want to let everybody know that if you want to check out our website, it's wooah.com. it's WOOHWAAH for all your video game, comic book, movie, geek entertainment news out there. You can also check out all of our podcasts that are available there. You can also download our podcast via iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Also check us out on Facebook.com/WOOAH, and our Twitter is WOOAH.com. Any last words, Zach?
Nope. That's good for me, man. We'll talk more about other cool stuff next episode. Thanks for listening.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Zach, for joining in, and we'll definitely catch up with you next week. Have a good night, everybody. Thank you.